Hi, everyone. Welcome to, I feel like I just said that so weird, but I am not going to restart. So I actually want to jump in really quick. First of all, welcome to the fifth episode, solo episode of V the People. My anxiety has just been an absolute disaster the past, I couldn't even tell you how long because I'm so used to it just being a part of my everyday world for as long as I can remember. But I feel like there have been pockets of time that I've really managed it. I do take medication for it, which is something we should just, I think, normalize talking about. But I think sometimes like my medication is working really well and then other times not so much. I feel like I use all the tools in my toolbox as far as being open and communicative, moving my body, taking my medications, trying to be productive, talking to my friends, talking to my wife, just doing all the things. But quite literally at the end of the day, there are some times that I just feel like I can't get a grasp on it. And I believe things that I think, even if I know they're just thoughts, and I'm really starting out deep. So I'm sorry, but it's just one of those days. And I was reminded of it when I first started and was getting imposter syndrome and all of the things. So I don't know if anyone else does this. I have the luxury, because I don't have kids, of waking up and then being able to go back to sleep if I'm still a little bit tired. I also should say I have that luxury because for some reason we have one cat that won't let my wife sleep past like 5 a.m. And even if like he wakes us up and I come downstairs to start the day, he is not okay with it and will continue to basically bother her until she wakes up. So that's a side note. But I kind of get in like that weird herkle-durkle stage of like, I just had a pretty good night's sleep. I wake up and then I'm kind of like half asleep for another hour or two. And this morning I made the mistake of going on my phone kind of immediately, which everyone says you shouldn't do, but I did. And I just think with everything going on in the world, I just had this sense of doom like come over me. And that's the best way to put it. It was just a sense of underlying doom. And I fell back to sleep for like another hour. And when I woke up, I felt better. But it was probably like the strongest sense of anxiety that I've had in a while. So that's where I'm at. Not that everyone needed to know my mental state, but I promised myself with this podcast that I would be open and honest and try to just normalize some things that for whatever reason we still associate with a sense of shame in our society. And I just want everyone to know that when it comes to mental health and having those days where you just feel really off or scared or overwhelmed about what's going on in today's world, that you're not alone. And I'm with you. And you have a safe space with me. So that was a crazy way to start the pod. And I apologize. But also, what's there to be sorry about? Okay. So let's get into what I've been watching recently. I've heard from a few people that this segment of the solo eps is very helpful when it comes to your nightly search of what you should be watching. I just want to say, first of all, Oprah released a podcast today, which you can also watch, with the woman who was in the Coldplay concert affair scandal that happened. I can't even tell you how long ago now because I've lost all concept of time since COVID, but it feels like a while ago. That woman went on Oprah's podcast. It is totally worth the watch. It really forced me to look at my relationship with the internet and the media and society as a whole and what I believe and what I subscribe to. And by the end of this interview, which I don't know if this was Oprah's goal, I think Oprah has such a great skill when it comes to interviewing that just feels so natural and organic. And she's genuinely asking the questions and then kind of lets the listener come to their own conclusion. And in this interview, I just had so many moments where I was like, damn, I am no better than a man in the sense that I was absolutely a part of the problem and blaming this woman, thinking, you know, this is crazy, definitely letting it go viral, sending the memes, just participating in all of it. And hearing her tell her story and hearing where she was at in her life and what was actually happening behind the scenes of all of it and just how exposed she was in that moment. She's literally just a girl. So even though it's not technically a TV show, you can watch the podcast. And if you haven't, I mean, if you've seen like the little clips here and there, that's great. But I highly recommend watching it in its entirety because it's powerful. And I think it will get your wheels turning in all the right ways that they need to be turned. If you're not watching Summer House this season, I will die on this hill. I really, Paige DeSorbo is my girl. I was so sad when she announced her departure, although I felt it was the right move for her. And obviously she's just killing it out here. I kind of thought this season would be a dud, and shame on me because it's the exact opposite. If you're a Bravo fan or a reality TV fan in any sense, you need to be watching this season of Summer House. It is just, it has all the right elements to make a great season. And they just dropped the mid-season trailer. I don't know how it's possible, but it looks like it's only going to get better. From here on out, I've been loving it. I know I've said it before, but we're kind of watching in real time the divide between Kyle and Amanda, which is really sad, but as someone who's just been watching since day one, I feel worthy of being let in on kind of what happened because we watch them fall in love, we watch them get married, all of that. So it's such a good season and highly worth the watch. Even if you haven't been watching since day one, I would recommend it because there's a lot of new people that are hilarious and they talk a lot about race, and there is the first black man and the first black woman on this season. The first black woman started a few seasons ago, but the first black man is on this season, and they talk about what it's like to be in their shoes. And I think the thing that the other castmates do on Summer House is just take it in and listen. And I think we could all take a page out of their book. So you need to be watching Summer House. I'm still very much obsessed with Paradise on Hulu. I was just telling my wife today, it's 2026. Why are we only releasing one episode a week? I'm quite frustrated by that because every single one is a cliffhanger. And then I'm waiting an entire week to get back into it. I feel like at least drop two or three so that by the time another week comes back around, by the way, whenever you hear me taking a long pause, it's because my cat, James, loves to jump on my laptop and I'm so scared he's just going to pause or something. Paradise, even if they only released a couple of episodes at a time, I think that would be better because then at least I'm getting one or two hours out of it. And then I'm like, okay, I'm kind of like quenched. And then I wouldn't be as upset. However, they're only dropping one episode a week. So if you're not already into it, it's only the second season. It is bingeable AF. So next time you're looking for something to just absolutely binge, Paradise on Hulu is the way to go. And the other thing I'm watching, which I think I've already talked about, and I'm so sorry, y'all. I'm in like this weird TV stage where there's just so much content coming out weekly, and I'm trying to keep up with it, is Shrinking. Don't sleep on it. It's Apple TV, $10 a month. One episode of Shrinking is worth the $10. So please get Apple TV if you don't already have it and watch it. It's so good. Plus, there's so many other things on Apple TV you can watch. The other thing, which is super heavy and morbid and sad, is called All of the Empty Rooms. It has been on my radar for a while. It's a 35-minute documentary on Netflix where a CBS journalist is trying to visit every room of any student that was killed in a school shooting since Columbine. And the parents basically allow him in the child's room, which basically all of them have been left completely untouched. And this journalist interacts with the parents, gets to know the kid through the empty room, and then there's a photographer that comes along and takes pictures. And it recently won the Oscar for, I think it was Best Documentary, but don't quote me. And I just felt like I've been putting it off because gun violence is something that I just feel really deeply about. If you don't, I don't really understand why, to be honest, but it really is something that, like, I get such a physical response to because I just don't understand how anyone could feel differently. And so I've been kind of avoiding it selfishly because I know it would just bring up just a lot of feelings. And I finally decided that it needed to happen. I needed to watch it. And I did yesterday. And it's just, it's a weird word to say, but it's a really beautiful documentary, and the vulnerability that the families showed, and I just think the importance of it. At the end, the journalist says that he wishes he could transport every American to one of these rooms, even if only for a few minutes, and I couldn't have agreed more. I just think, how could you watch something like that and still have any opposing feeling to tighter gun laws in our country? So yeah, not to get, I mean, this solo ep has been incredibly deep and serious. It won't always be that way, but gives you a little glimpse into where I'm at these days. So yes, please watch it if you feel up for it, if you think you are in an emotional space to experience it. It's worth the watch. And it's only 35 minutes. Okay, so I think that kind of covers it for what I've been watching. The only other thing that I'd love to talk about this week is for the segment of things we don't talk about enough, even though I already dove right into mental health, anxiety, and SSRIs. My wife recently, she and I went on a trip. We went on a trip last week, and it was great. I think it's always good to get out of the house, get out of your routine, shake things up. But I just want to say that the older I get, and now I'm almost in my mid-30s, which is wild. If you're listening to this and that makes you want to punch me in the face, I understand. But I just feel like I'm reaching that age where I sleep so much better when I am home in my own bed, knowing that my cats are downstairs with my noise machine on, with my fan on, in my home. And anytime I'm venturing outside of that routine, I just don't sleep well. And I think we need to normalize that. I think something we don't talk about enough is normalizing the love for being home. How was your vacation? It was so great. I'm so happy to be home. And I think sometimes I say that and people look at me like, what do you mean? But it's the truth. So that's my something we don't talk about enough, because I want to end it on a lighter note, since I feel like I just ripped everyone's heart out a little bit. Not really, but you know what I mean. Anyways, I have so many great guests lined up in the weeks to come. If you've been listening and following along, I just want to say thank you and that I really appreciate you from the bottom of my heart. And just thanks for being on this journey with me. So that's it for today. And James, do you want to say anything? Okay, if you could hear that, that was crazy, because he really just put his nose right up to the microphone. Okay, bye.